going to divide the shiur into two parts, one this week, and in Yisrael Hashem there'll be a shiur again next week. Even though Shabbos HaGadol Drosha will be next Shabbos, not the Erev Pesach. Okay, tonight we are only going to cover everything until after Bedikas Chametz. We're not going to learn the special halachas yet of the Shabbos before Pesach. We'll have plenty of time next week, because it'll be a week and a half before Pesach to cover that. So we're going to limit ourselves to the regular preparations in cleaning and kashering for Pesach. That's what tonight's shiur will be basically limited to. Okay, first of all, Pesach cleaning, which is probably already underway in most homes. Again, it's important to remember that the purpose of Pesach cleaning is to clean for chametz, not to clean your house because of spring cleaning, which is a very positive thing. But if you're overwhelmed, the priority is cleaning for chametz, and then whatever extra things you have to do, do that extra. But don't waste your time and energy doing things that aren't necessary for Pesach, and then not have time to do the things that are necessary for Pesach. So what's necessary for Pesach is the following. Rooms that you can close off and aren't going to use at all, like your attic. You don't have to do anything there. Just close it up. Don't go up to the attic on Pesach. If an emergency arises that you have to get something from your attic, you'd be allowed to go in there probably and get what you have to get and get out. But under normal circumstances, if you don't need things in the attic on a regular basis, or you can take out whatever you need before Pesach, then just close up the attic and don't bother with it for Pesach. The same thing goes if you're going away for Pesach. If you're not going to be here at all during Chol HaMoed, then all you have to do is close up your house, sell the chametz contents, and you don't have to do anything else. If there's a chance that you're going to be back here Chol HaMoed, right, you're not going out of the country, you're going to be in the country and there's chances that you come back here, or you're leaving people in your house, then you must make Bedikas Chametz, meaning clean the house, those areas where the people are going to be or you're going to be. If there's rooms you can close off that you know even if you come back, you won't have to go into those rooms at all. Or you have people staying in your house in one bedroom, and they have access to that bedroom through a hallway or whatever, then wherever they have access, you have to clean for Pesach. And every other room, you can just close off, tape up, lock, what's it called, even the kitchen, and don't do anything else there. Okay. Basically, the cleaning for Pesach has to be that there isn't chametz that is edible around. But if it's chametz that's minute crumbs that aren't nobody's going to pick up and eat, or chametz that's in a place where it was stepped on and or it's inaccessible, under heavy appliances that you normally don't move, behind cabinets that you don't normally move, and there's no access to them except with the great bother, right, to start getting behind them or whatever in a way that you normally you don't get behind them, then you don't have to worry about the chametz that's there. But chametz that's accessible, that could be edible, even smaller pieces than kazayas, right, even not real crumbs, but even what's it called, crumbs that could come to be eaten or whatever, those you have to worry about. Therefore, svarim, okay, do not have to be searched page by page unless you plan to bring those svarim to the table where the crumbs could fall into food, and the crumbs that are in svarim are edible. They haven't become not edible. So if you plan to bring those svarim to the table, then you should check page by page and make sure there's no crumbs. You don't have to mamash go every page. Just take the safer and shake out the crumbs. If you don't plan to bring those svarim to the table, then you don't have to worry about crumbs that may be in svarim. Nobody left a sandwich in their sefer. And if you did, then you have to make bedikas chametz. You don't have to build a mechitza in front of the svarim either. There is a shita like that, the Chazon Ish. I said you don't hold like that. And we hold basically that all you have to do is look around the shelves to make sure that your kids or whatever didn't leave a nice piece of chametz on the shelf or whatever. In the svarim itself, you don't have to make bedikas chametz. And again, any svarim you want to bring to the table during Pesach, those should be checked well. Okay. In the kitchen, let's go, what's it called, kashering and cleaning in the kitchen itself. Cabinets that you are not going to be using for Pesach and locking up all your chametz sticka kelim in there, you don't have to clean your kelim before you put them away. You just sell all of that with the chametz. And our minig is to sell chametz unless you have a specific minig not to. If you have a minig not to sell chametz, then you shouldn't sell chametz gomer, but things that are not chametz gomer, right, you could sell. The things that are chametz gomer are macaroni, bread, cake, things that mamish chametz be'en. Things that are chametz only because they're mixed with chametz in various kinds of mixtures, there you should ask a shayla if you have such a minig. Usually, people who come from America don't have those minhagim of not selling chametz. And if you don't know that you've had such a minig, you can sell all your chametz. Yeah. However, if you don't have anything really to sell except kelim, okay, and the chametz that you have left is negligible, then finish it before Pesach, or if it's really negligible, throw it out, and don't bother selling real chametz, because there is a hither not to sell real chametz. If you have, though, a lot of things, it'd be a loss of money. You have a lot of chametz left. It'd be a loss to throw it out. Then you can rely on the sale and sell the chametz again, unless you have a specific minig that you don't sell chametz gomer. Yeah.
What do we do at
Play-Doh? Hold on, one thing. Let's finish. When I finish a thing, then I'll take questions. Okay. Okay. Let's start with the kitchen. So, let's start before the kitchen. Closets where you could have any place that you could have brought in chametz, and if you have little children, that's every place. That has to be cleaned. At least, again, for chametz. Doesn't have to be clean for anything else except to make sure that there's no chametz there. Clothing, if you have the meaning of putting chametz in your pockets, right, you have to check through all your pockets, and not just the night of bedikas chametz, because that becomes impossible to do all of that properly the night of bedikas chametz. But as you're cleaning now, weeks before Pesach, right, to go through all the pockets of clothing that hasn't been dry cleaned since you last wore it, and possibly you put in chametz. Dry cleaning usually makes the chametz not edible. The chemicals and things that are there, and usually, again, if you're afraid you left a sandwich in your pocket, right, then you should clean out the things. Crumbs that went through dry cleaning, you don't have to worry about.
And regular laundry is a problem?
Right, regular laundry, if the things were laundered also, if you're only afraid of crumbs, it shouldn't be a problem either. Okay. Closets, floors, carpets, only have to be vacuumed regular. After that, you don't have to get on your knees and see that there's no crumbs between the strands of the carpet. It's not necessary. The floors have to be washed normally. They don't have to be waxed or whatever. Normal washing will either render any crumbs that are there inedible or get rid of them. One of the two. What else? Because of maybe pieces of chametz that taka are still edible, but aren't walked over, whatever. Depends how thick your carpet is. But if you do it once, whatever's left there are small pieces that for sure are nimas if you walk on them. Whatever's there that's bigger is picked up by the vacuum cleaner. Okay. Let's take the kitchen. Let's start with the refrigerator. Refrigerators have to be cleaned out from chametz and washed down well. There's no kashering that has to be done. You don't really have to cover the shelves in the refrigerator. You should wash them well. Most times you don't put chametz mamish on the shelves anyway. It's all in containers or whatever. The places in the refrigerator that you can't get to at all, right, are not exposed. You don't have to go and use heroic methods of getting the crumbs that are trapped there, because they're never going to come to the surface. Things that are closer to the surface, that there may be crumbs that are edible and could get mixed in with the food, those are serious, even if they're crumbs, because they can be, that could come and get mixed into food that you have.
What about the
issue of seeing? Those, there's no issue to see chametz. The issue is to own chametz or whatever. But if it's not accessible, even if you can see it, right, it's no, that's not a problem. Bal yirum, bal yimatzi doesn't mean seeing chametz. You can see all the chametz you want on Pesach as long as it's not yours. And if it's the reason that it's usur, after you made bedika and you made bittel, is only because we're afraid you may come to eat it. And therefore it's inaccessible, then you're not afraid you're going to come to eat it. And the bittel chametz is enough to take it out of your reshus. And you're not over bal yirum, bal yimatzi. Usually, if you can see it, it's accessible. And we're afraid it may fall into the food. We're talking about chametz in crevices or whatever, you have to take toothpicks or whatever to get out. Again, if there's no chance that those things will fall into the food, right, then maybe the best thing to do is to pour a little bleach in those cracks and render whatever's there totally unedible, and then there's no problem anymore. So again, if it's only crumbs, only minute amounts, we're not afraid that the chlal of the halacha of bal yirum bal yimatzi. We're only afraid that you may come to eat it, and if you render it inedible, and or if it's inaccessible anyway, there's no chance in the world you're going to come to eat it. There's no reason why you have to get rid of it and spend hours getting into the crevices of your refrigerator. The places where you, and if you can clean everything out, you don't have to cover anything in the refrigerator. If you want to cover areas where you did put, I don't know, things that are crummy you didn't clean well, I don't know, can't be massive what that could be, and you want to cover, it's fine. But there's no chiyuv to cover the refrigerator. The chiyuv is to clean it well, so you don't need to cover it. If you do cover it, you should realize that you should leave holes for the air to circulate, otherwise the refrigerator becomes useless, and you probably could kill the motor if the air doesn't circulate properly. So if you're going to cover it, you cover it with the kinds of coverings that leave holes where the holes are in the shelf. There's for sure no chametz in the holes, in the spaces, unless it's levitated in midair, and that doesn't have to be covered. Okay. That's the refrigerator. Freezer is the same thing. If you want to keep refrigerated food over Pesach that you're selling, you can't keep it, if it's real chametz, in the same refrigerator that you're using for Pesach. It has to be segregated completely. If you have like shelves or drawers in the bottom of the refrigerator that you're not using at all, and you can tape up where it's segregated completely, that probably would be sufficient. You can't keep things wrapped up in a freezer that are real chametz together with your Pesach things if you're going to be using that freezer on Pesach. That's for sure not okay. What you can do, though, is keep things that are not real chametz. Meat that's not kosher l'Pesach, but it's only because of a chash, you know, that they didn't watch it carefully to make sure that no chametz came in contact with it. That's just a chumrah. That you can wrap up, not use for Pesach, and keep it in your freezer. Kidneys you can keep in your freezer, even in your refrigerator, over Pesach, if it's wrapped up and you know that it's you're not going to come to use it by mistake. But real chametz, even chametz that's taruvos, that's mixtures of chametz, you should not keep in the same place. Either you should find somebody who's going away and put it in their refrigerator and mark that on the shtar when you sell your chametz, that you have chametz in so-and-so's house. If you have you're going away for Pesach and you're not going to use those things altogether, then use the refrigerator and let other people use your space in your refrigerator too, so they can keep things that are okay. Okay, that's refrigerators. Okay, now countertops. Countertops, there are kinds of shayish that can be kashered for Pesach. The shayish that was, the original shayish in Moshe Matat Yo is not that kind of shayish. It's not real shayish, it's real like plastic and it can't be kashered. Do you have good, real stone, marble shayish without cracks in it? It could be kashered. But lemaisa, the best thing to do anyway is to wash these areas well, not to kasher them, and to, what's it called, to put some thick cardboard, linoleum, over it, and use that year after year or whatever to cover your countertops. And then it doesn't have to be kasher, it has to be cleaned well. Okay? I don't know. I have to... I don't know.
I know. In the market for kitchens, they tell me that's 90% of the market today. So.
Okay, I don't know if that's real. If it could be, it is. If it's real stone without any other additives, then it could be kashered. Stoneware could be kashered. Marble could be kashered. But again, the minig is anyway, even if you kasher it, with pouring boiling water over it after it's cleaned, and you don't use hot things there for 24 hours. And the minig is that even after you kasher it, to cover it. So if you're covering it anyway, there's no need to kasher it. And if you cover it, you should cover it with at least heavy-duty aluminum foil or two layers of regular aluminum foil, preferably with plastic, with a thick plastic that won't tear. They sell, what's it called, these kinds of plastics. Or, again, with linoleum, something like that, that you could possibly use year after year. Okay, that's the countertops. Oven, yeah. Wait till we finish this whole thing of the kitchen and the next question. Next, sinks. If you have a stainless steel sink, then you should leave it without using it for hot things for 24 hours, and then you can kosher it by pouring boiling water into the sink and over the faucet, the place where the water comes out, and the handles, right? Preferably you should get a new drain, because drains are usually plastic or whatever, a new, whatever it's called, a strainer in the drain. And also, if you have a strainer on the faucet, spigot, right, you should change that also for paper. It's also plastic. Things get caught in there or whatever. That also should be changed for Pesach. If you don't have a stainless steel sink, you have a sink that's porcelain, you can't kasher it. So you clean it well. In either case, you should pour some bleach down the drain in case there's any chametz that's in the drain that could back up over Pesach. This way, you render it totally inedible. And you should put the basins in the sink where the entire dishes that you wash over Pesach are contained totally in those basins and don't come in contact with the walls of the sink. And the basin should be raised a little bit above the bottom of the sink so the dishes don't come to rest. So you have to have a drain or whatever that when the water drains out, doesn't drain directly together with the dishes in the thing sitting in the chametzdika sink, right, where the water is in contact with the bottom of the sink. So the water can drain into the sink without the dishes coming in contact with the bottom of the sink. Okay, that's sinks. Next is ovens. Ovens are the most serious things. The best thing to do is to have either a separate oven for Pesach, if you can afford it and you have the room. Next to that is if you have a self-cleaning oven, right, not continuous cleaning oven, self-cleaning oven, which goes like to a high temperature, that temperature is enough to be considered libun kal, which we're somach on for sure for chametz, and it's sufficient to turn the oven onto the self-cleaning mode, right, and self-clean it. Sometimes they say because of the gas pressure here, you have to do it twice, and that's sufficient. The door, it depends how it self-cleans. Sometimes the self-cleaning, there's a shield that separates between the door and the oven when it's self-cleaning, then the oven door hasn't been kosher. So then what you have to do is cover the inside of the oven door with aluminum foil or whatever. Again, whatever I say aluminum foil, it means heavy-duty aluminum foil or two layers of aluminum foil, regular, so it doesn't tear. If the self-cleaning ovens today, I don't think, have that shield, the doors are made where the glass is kosherable also, then you don't have to do anything. Just self-clean it, and that's fine. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, and you have a regular oven, then the next thing that's preferable is to buy an insert for the oven. And measure the oven well. You can go have these inserts made. Measure the inside measurements of the oven, not the outside measurements of the oven, from experience. Take a little bit off also, so it'll fit in and you'll be able to get it out too after Pesach. It has its own shelves, and you bake inside of that after you clean your oven well. The oven's clean with oven cleaner, whatever. You don't have to kosher the oven though. Then you basically are baking inside this insert, even though the heat source is a regular oven. If you can't do that, then the next thing down. Next thing down. No. No. Well, I'll give you a chance to ask questions after we finish this. If I do that, we'll never finish this, and it destroys people's, what's it called, concentration. Okay. If you can't do that, then the next thing down is to clean the oven well with oven cleaner, leave it for 24 hours, and then kosher it by turning it on to the highest heat. However, don't use that for the racks. The racks, either you have to buy new racks, or kosher them with a blowtorch, or put them in somebody's self-cleaning oven. The racks where the pots, food, come in contact with directly, you shouldn't rely on koshering by heating it up to the highest heat. But the walls of the oven, after you clean it well with oven cleaner, whatever, then you can kosher it by leaving it out to the highest heat for about an hour or two, and that's sufficient. And you should switch between the broiler and the baking part, so the heat is distributed throughout the... if you have a broiler pan that you've made, onions that are chametz thick or other things that are chametz, those can't be kosher at all. Those take out of the oven, sell them with your chametz, and either get new broiling pans for Pesach or don't use the broiler on Pesach.
You sell the
kaleem? Yeah, well, the chametz in the kaleem.
The chametz on
okay.
The kaleem.
Please, no questions. Okay, next. So that's ovens. Ovens, refrigerators, sinks, countertops, stovetop. Most of us here have gas, ovens. Tripods where the food sits on. Either you should buy... make an investment and have year after year new tripods just for Pesach and put them away from year to year. It's one possibility. Another possibility is if you kosher them by libun, the grates, yeah, the grates, whatever they are. The things that the pots sit on. So the grates should be koshered either with a blowtorch or by putting them in the flame on the gas and moving them around so the flame gets everything and leaving there for an amount of time. If you turn off the lights in the kitchen and start, they would start to glow red. But those need hasher, things spill on them, and they're mamish on the fire, and they need to be koshered. It won't help to cover them, because the covering will melt. It's right, mamish right in the fire. So either get new ones, or kosher the ones that you have. The drip pan, or whatever, they sell, disposable ones. Get drip pans that are disposable, new ones or whatever, that go under the grate, under the where the pot sits to catch the drippings. The rest of the oven, cover with aluminum foil. The rest of the stove top, right. It's covered with aluminum foil and what's it called, and that's where you put the pots down or whatever, again, with a heavy-duty aluminum foil all around the grates. If you have a hood for your oven, that should be covered, It should be cleaned as much as you can and cover it with aluminum foil so the steam from the pots doesn't directly come in contact with the hood. If the hood is high enough that the steam, by the time it gets there, is never hot, then you really have no problem, except to clean it well that things don't start falling down from the hood into your food on Pesach. What else is in a kitchen? Dishwashers, they should wash their hands. People have dishwashers here? Anybody? Yeah? Okay, so if you have a dishwasher, if it's metal, stainless steel, it could be kashered, but you have to get new racks for Pesach, and you have to let it run through the highest cycle for the walls, and put in new racks, and the same thing goes for the drains or whatever, anything that's plastic, rubber, whatever, should be changed for Pesach, in addition with the racks. If you don't have new racks, you should realize the new racks cost probably as much as a new dishwasher. So it's not worth it. What else is in the kitchen? A microwave. Microwave. If you have a plastic microwave, plastic walls, put it away. Buy a new one. Microwaves are very inexpensive. Buy a new one and keep it for every Pesach. What's it called? If you have a stainless steel inside microwave, then what you should do is the following. The glass or plastic where the food rests on should be changed new for Pesach. The walls should be cleaned well, right, especially around where the fan is or whatever. And you should put boiling water inside the microwave. Boil it up on the stove, pour it into something that's microwave safe, and let it boil in the oven, in the microwave, so it makes steam all over the walls. That's kashering the walls. But the thing where the food sits on should be replaced. And it should be cleaned well, especially where the fan is or whatever. And if you can't clean that well, then you shouldn't kasher the microwave. There's another possibility, too, even if you have a plastic one, but I don't suggest it. And that is build yourself an insert, not of metal. Does anyone have any problem? Next year you have to buy a new microwave anyway. Stuff they use for projects. Whatever it is, okay. And cut it out and make an insert, all six sides, and what's it called? Cover the door also. And then, theoretically, after you clean the microwave, you can use it on Pesach. What? No. You put the six sides on the door. Okay. Is there anything else in kitchens that I'm not aware of? Yeah.
The racks. I've seen Kiryat Sefer people boiling racks. You don't hold by that?
Boiling racks of what?
The dishwasher racks. They have these big pots that I see people put in
The dishwasher racks are usually covered with rubber,
yeah, rubber,
which are plastic, whatever. That's not the natural rubber. And we're in no way not to kasher plastic for Pesach. So it's preferable not to do that. Unless you know that the racks are covered with natural rubber, that could be kasher. Then you could kasher it with Hagolah. No, there's bleach. Probably will go into that, I assume.
It does, yeah.
But you don't have to do that?
Well, it's easier.
No.
Okay.
Unless you do it regularly and eat what's in there.
Well, yeah. I do have to clean under there quite regularly, but I don't eat it.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I'm selling my oven and stoves because there might be hummus in it. Well, whatever. I don't use my
You're not
hummus.
Using it. You're closing it up.
I'm closing it up.
And that's included in the say, yeah, okay.
How good do I have to clean? Do I have to get in there with a toothpick?
No.
Or is it just enough to clean it?
No, just clean it regular and what's it called? With an oven cleaner.
Okay.
24 hours, you don't use it for anything hot water.
So in other words, if I want to turn over my kitchen on Monday night, after Sunday night, I can use the sink, but I can't use it for anything hot.
Right.
And then Monday night, I would be able to pour boiling water all over it.
Right.
And bleach.
Right. Now, with the boiling water, it's preferable, if you can, to heat up rocks or pieces of metal and put them in the sink so the water continues boiling. Right? Or to... what other way is there to do it?
Yes, and I have an electric kumkum.
If you have an electric thing where the water is boiling as it comes out, it's also...
So if you have a kettle, this electric kettle, and it's still...
boiling,
it's still
yeah.
Not going, once you lift it up, it turns off.
Oh, but it's still boiling. Yeah, it's
boiling. Yeah. Well, that's if it's cordless. Yeah.
It's boiling, that's fine.
If it's corded, it will continue going.
Or an immersion heater.
But it has to be a Pesach kettle, then, no?
No.
No, it shouldn't be a Pesach
kettle. The kettle can be anything as long as it hasn't been used in 24 hours.
Won't it get the steam from...
No, it's before Pesach, and if it hasn't been used in 24 hours, it's only a kettle, it's okay. Any pot you can use, you can take any pot, not dafka Pesach, thicker pot, and use it to boil up the water and to pour it in the sink.
But if the water... If the
pot shouldn't have been used for 24 hours, okay, and it should be clean.
We're talking about electric kettles.
Right.
And it has been used for making coffee. You don't have anything except water, but it is being poured.
Right, but you never put real chametz into there anyway, right?
Absolutely.
But even if you did, you haven't used it for 24 hours and it's clean.
No. It has been used 24 hours to make coffee.
To make coffee? And you never, but you never put, right, but you never put any chametz in there.
No.
The, you wash it with your chametz things?
No. I mean...
You rinse it out, you don't wash it. Yeah, you don't put it. Yeah, then that shouldn't be a problem.
Mixers?
Usually we don't kasher for Pesach. The blades, the mixers are talking about things that make dough or whatever. Kalim that make dough, we usually don't kasher. If you have a food processor or whatever, and it's not used mamish for making dough, it's just used for cutting vegetables and making whatever. Cakes or whatever, not heavy dough, then theoretically you can kasher it, but a lot of the stuff goes into the motor there and comes back into the food. It's better not to kasher those things. Yeah.
If I was speaking about selling chametz galore, let's say I have 4 full bags of noodles, like 14 full bags of noodles, and a half a bag. Do I get rid of the half bag?
No, there's no purpose to get rid of the half a bag if you're selling 14 other bags. If you have a half a bag,
that's all you have,
then better get rid of it and don't rely on the mechira for chametz gom. Okay. But if you have 14 bags, there's no reason to get rid of even one more noodle.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
If you have a liquor cabinet and a half a bag of noodles, you're selling the
that's all you have? And whatever's in the trap in your thing.
Yeah.
And
do you need to sell the half a bag? You're still selling chametz.
Yeah, there could be that. It's things like this. Liquor is a shiloh, whether it's chametz gomer or not. If you're selling liquor already, then you can sell the other chametz too.
When you're kashering an oven, the self-clean, do you have to, let's say there's sometimes charred pieces of, let's say, black chametz on the wall?
Charred pieces are not really a problem if they're really charred.
After the clean self-clean?
You can clean it once and do it again. Right, unless the oven's not working properly. But if it's really charred, it's nothing.
And grease?
Grease is a different story. Grease is not really charred. If it's burnt grease completely, it's no problem.
So after self-cleaning,
there's still grease there, it didn't self-clean. If there's just black residue, then it's self-cleaned. But if you see still there's things there that are not, you know, what's it called, burnt up, then it didn't self-clean. Then something's wrong with it.
On the on the hinge of the door of the oven, there's like they have an insulating area to keep the heat in. So it wedged in there.
That should clean well because that doesn't come in contact with the self cleaning.
Doesn't come in contact with food either.
What? Yes and no. Things spill. That you should clean well. Probably put the oven cleaner over it or whatever. So whatever's there becomes bottle anyway. Yeah.
If you do kasher,
yes. Iker hadin, if you kasher countertops, right, that can be kashered, you don't have to cover them. Here in Eretz Yisrael, it says, what's it called? The minig, I can't say the minig, there's no minig Eretz Yisrael, but all the svarim that are Eretz Yisrael, the svarim say, then you should cover them. So, lamais, for Americans that definitely don't have minig Eretz Yisrael, if you really can kasher it, you don't have to cover it.
And non-edible chametz, things that are not perfumes, all those kind of things.
Yep. No. One second, do you have a question?
Yeah. want to talk about toys. Are you going to get
toys? We'll get to toys.
Can you... You have to wait 24 hours after you clean your stove in order to kosher it?
Do you have to wait? You have to wait 24 hours from the last time you used it for hot.
Okay, so if you haven't used your stove for 24 hours, you can clean it.
Clean it, kosher. You don't have to wait 24 hours from the time you clean it. You don't have to wait 24 hours from the time you clean it. You have to wait 24 hours from the last time it was used.
If you used it on Friday, then you could definitely clean it and use it on Sunday, clean it and everything on Sunday.
Back here, back here.
Can you put the racks, the grates from the oven, from the stove?
I mean the grates into a self-cleaning oven, yes. You put the grates also, that's another possibility. Either a blowtorch, self-cleaning oven, or in the flame, and the flame is not so great. The self-cleaning oven is the best, or a blowtorch. To ruin them? It'll discolor them.
A linoleum countertop?
Yeah.
There's ladies back there who have questions.
Okay.
Any men back
there? Yes.
One thing is just about Bunch was asking about the sink. When it's 24 hours from when it's used for hot, now, when I'm cleaning the sink, that means I should be, should I clean it with hot water?
No, hot chametz, that you had. Dishes, chametz sticky dishes in there that you wash in the sink in hot water. That's not right. Used for hot, not just stam hot water.
My other question was about the burners on the stove. I don't think you ever mentioned that. Not the grates, but the burners where the
pilot. The gas comes out itself, anything that's there is burnt.
It's just a matter of cleaning it.
Just cleaning it, yeah.
Yeah?
Who?
The faucet.
Yeah. What does that mean? That's not the thing you turn. That's the thing where the water comes out of.
Spigot.
Yeah.
The whole thing, the handle and the thing you pull up and everything. So it used to be that I had these sort of double taps where you have one hot and one cold, and I had a different, and I used to change that over for Pesach. I'd already bought a separate one. Now I've changed my taps, so I have, so I can't remember what it's going to be. It's the single one where it goes round,
right.
So I can't change that.
Clean it well and pour boiling water over that. Because there's always...
It's plastic.
You still pour boiling water over it.
Some are metal, some are plastic.
Even the plastic ones you can pour boiling water over. Right.
And the Rav said you should take the filter out?
Filter out and change it.
Change it or wash it?
It's very hard to wash it, to get everything out of the filter. They're easy, what's it called? They're very easy to, they cost nothing almost.
You're talking about area.
Better change it. Yeah, it's very hard to clean. Yeah. An electric
panel, like you press the bake button or the oven, I should cover that with over there.
I don't understand what's going on.
Dials,
The
well, turn my oven on. Instead of turning a dial, I have a button to press.
Right.
It's behind.
Pad.
It's at the back of my stove, so food splashes on there.
So clean it off well and cover it.
Cover it with like
aluminum foil.
But then you take
it. We
cover it with saran wrap.
Saran wrap.
The Rav said in answer to somebody that for stovetops, for grates, you have to wait 24 hours?
For stovetops?
For the grates.
Yes, because you're not doing it with Libun Gomer. It's only Libun Ka, which is also could be Kabbalah Ka Falta.
The racks inside the oven, this is Libun Ka enough?
What? The racks inside the oven? Yeah, that's why you can put them in somebody's self-cleaning oven.
Self-cleaning is leave and come?
See, self-cleaning is leave and come.
So can you put, like, stovetop grates in the oven also?
Yes, yes, it is. Yeah?
Could you cover the grates with double aluminum?
The grates?
Yeah, sure.
You could, but the horror, the aluminum will get burnt off by the fire.
It's double, it can burn.
It melts, no? Yeah, if in fact you can cover it and it won't, and you just clean it well, then you don't have to kosher it, just cover it. Okay. Any more questions on the kitchen? If not, we'll leave the kitchen. Okay, next. People who have a hot plate, what's it called? Plata, blech, we forgot about those. Blechs, preferably you should have one for Pesach. If you don't, it has to be kosher with a blowtorch, and it definitely will warp it and discolor it. So if you don't care, it's no problem. Okay, 1 second. Electric plata, you should clean well, leave on to the highest heat, and then cover it with aluminum foil totally, and you can use it for Pesach.
How long should it be left on?
Until it gets hot. So it gets the hottest it gets. It's not going to get any hotter leaving it on. The oven is a different thing because the air has to heat up and then the walls have to heat up from a heat source. Here the heat source is on the thing itself. So it's not going to get any hotter by leaving it on longer. So as soon as it gets the hottest it gets, you can turn it off. But then you should still cover it. The same thing goes for that's a hot plate. Same thing goes for a plata. What else? But they should be covered. What? An urn. So if you wash that urn with chametz, then you should get a new one for Pesach. You never washed it with chametz. It's only used for hot water. And it's put away where chametz doesn't splash on it. Okay? Then you can clean it well. You don't have to kosher it. And you can use it for Pesach. The chances that what I just described are true are almost nil. Usually you put the urn where it's possible that things splash on it. Okay? If you
especially
didn't,
if you
have sometimes these air pot.
What? Especially if Shalos is your woman to throw them hot on.
Yeah, that's a big problem. But that'd be Pesach. Okay. Right. Or if you keep it under the drain trap. The, I'm just kidding. Marsha, if I didn't feel that close to you, I wouldn't say it. Okay. The, is this all on tape? Can we make sure this does not go on the internet? Okay.
All coincidence.
So therefore, sometimes people have these air pots. If it was, again, they usually aren't washed with chametz, and there it's possible that you don't use it, within the proximity of chametz. The most you do is put it into chametz like a kalim. That's still not such a big problem. Those you could use for Pesach, clean them out well. But if you made soup with it, you poured the hot water into soup, like this. Yeah, but this is on the table. This is not so bad. Cookies don't splash onto the thing here. There's nothing here, but if it's in a place where real chametz can splash on it, or you put the hot water directly into a thing of soup that's chametz, soup mix or something, or other kinds of things that that could be chametz, then get another one for Pesach.
A glass. Is it metal?
What?
Glass kalim?
A glass kalim that's for kashering kalim. If you have glassware that you want to kasher for Pesach, then you do milui v'iru, you clean it well, and make sure that it's 3 days before Pesach. This year it's easier a little bit. You fill up a tub with regular cold water, and you immerse the kalim in them so they're completely immersed, and every 24 hours you change the water and do this for 3 days consecutively.
Can you boil?
What?
Can you boil glass too?
No.
Stick it in glass?
No, regular glass, you can't kosher with high gold. And this is only if it's used for, what's it called, cold, yeah, cold meaning that it's at least a cliché-ny. Those you can kosher, yeah, because other people use cliché-ny, not things that you make on the fire, Pyrex, these kind of things. Yeah.
The electric clean coops that you're talking about, like, similar to what's on the table.
Right.
Where you can use them on Shabbos. They sit plugged in. Can you just cover, like, the outside where something might have splashed
on it? No. Because what went on the outside goes through the whole kli. So it's not just a question of covering the outside. The problem is that the kli became a kli of chametz. So, preferably you should have one for Pesach. Right, the oven, stove or the oven also. There you're covering it that the food never comes in contact with the thing. But here you put the water inside, right? The chametz went through the thing. So it's coming in contact with the walls of the kli. Consider if you could possibly make an insert for the thing, which would probably cost 10 times more to buy a new one, right? Then maybe it could be okay too. Even that's what wouldn't be okay. It's all liquids and it's forget about that. Yeah.
We use the hot and cold bars.
Hot and cold
bars, water purified bars.
Brita.
Two separate spigots.
Yeah. Water bar. I'm not sure. A water bar. Okay.
A water cooler.
Yeah. Or if you use the hot to make soup directly, no, you just put it into a regular. What? What?
If you use it to, if you put it on cereal, that's in a hot water.
Yeah, then you shouldn't use it for Pesach.
And the cold water, what you
think? The cold you can use.
Okay.
Do you have to kosher vases?
Who?
Vases.
Vases? Kosher them? No, you have to clean them. No, there the problem is not, what's it called? Only the kosher things that you're going to use for cooking or eating from. Mm-hmm. Okay? I assume you're not eating from these vases or cooking in them, right? So the only problem then is that there's chametz maybe, what? There's chametz maybe stuck to it or whatever. You should clean it off. That's all.
Can you put it in flour inside?
Very funny. The, right. Can you put it on the table? If it was cleaned well, yes. Yeah, it doesn't have to be kosher. The same thing goes with your leichter. You don't have to kosher the leichter, right? Even though there are people who do that. You don't have to do that. You can just wash it well, right, and put it on the table if it's clean. Right? Nothing comes in contact in any way that could possibly become chametz with your leichter, even though it's on the table.
Even if you know that challah was on your leichter?
Gala was on your leichter?
Like you touched it.
Yeah.
Fine, so clean it off well. Yeah, if you clean it off well, it didn't get cooked on the leichter. You're not cooking anything with the leichter, and you're not putting your leichter in your soup or something on Pesach. Again, there are people who only bring the leichter and cover it with aluminum foil, which takes away the whole. Unless you have a lactive, it looks better when it's covered with aluminum. And I know people used to bring candlesticks to kosher. I don't see any reason. Again, when it comes to Pesach, people are really machmir and really shouldn't make fun of any chumrah on Pesach. But if you're asking me, if you don't have that minig and you haven't done it before, I don't see. Somebody once called me Erev Pesach. They wanted to know if they could sit in the room where they had set the Seder up because they just remembered they didn't clean their screens before Pesach. So I told them this year they b'di'evit could do it. Next year, don't forget to clean it.
Get that done.
But I couldn't think of any possible problem that could come from not having your screens clean.
Oh, a fly can take a crumb and try to fly out the window and get in there.
Yeah.
The oil you
The oil you use for lighting should be kosher lePesach.
No, it's a problem.
Because, yeah, I'm not sure what they put in there and what, you know, what it is. It's probably not a problem, but, what's it called? Chometz is also b'hanoah, too. And, yes, you get kosher lePesach. Besides the fact that it splatters and that taka does happen. If you have the light near the table or near whatever.
So do we need special new glasses then?
Yeah. New glasses? No, just wash the glasses out. That night.
If you wash the glasses in the
The glasses that you put there.
I have those little glass cups you're talking about, the oil.
Yeah.
I wash them in my chometz sink every month of Shabbat.
Right.
And every Pesach, I buy four new ones. Because that's what I'm supposed to do.
But you can just clean them again, just like a vase. No? You're not eating out of them? No?
Here. Yeah, lechora, it should be enough just to clean the glasses.
To go wash their vases in the sink?
Yeah. What? But, one second. Should be enough to clean them, to use them for the leichter, but not to wash them with your Pesach Dika things in the Pesach Dika sink during Pesach. That night.
We are knowing to change the tray on which the lighter stands.
That comes on the table, what's it called? Yeah, that's again.
No,
that's
separate
table,
but not on the
right.
Wax candles.
Wax candles are not a paraffin. They're not. The, okay, next. Okay, next thing with what's it called, with Bedikas Chometz, toys. Children's toys that are crusted with chometz, sticky, whatever, if you can clean them and wash them well, and there's no chometz there, then the kids can use them on Pesach. If you don't want to clean and soak all the toys, or they're not possible to clean, or other things like that, benches or whatever, but you can't clean them, what's it called? You don't need them anyway for Pesach. The Haggadahs become the dentures. So put them away with whatever you're selling with your chametz. Segregate it in a separate room behind the mechitza in a cabinet that's closed up completely. And that's what you should do with them. Yes.
But the person not stuck with chametz, the person by an older child who doesn't eat.
An adult child? The if there really was no, you never play with these toys with chometz, right? Then you check them and see if there's no chometz there, right? Or if it's the kind of toy that's impossible, they never use it with chometz at all, so it's not something that's that ever came in contact with chometz, then there's no problem. Just there's no halacha that toys are special. Just that toys usually, right? But if it's the kind of thing that doesn't come in contact with chometz and you don't use it with chometz, then there's no problem. Play-Doh. By Play-Doh, there's a shaila whether Play-Doh is chometz or not. There are those that say that Play-Doh is chometz gomer, and you have to put it away with your chometz. You can't use it on Pesach. There's others that hold that Play-Doh is not chometz at all. It's totally bottled from any, I don't know what's it called, what the, let me just take a look and see what's his name said last year.
It's not even,
Rabbi Blumenkranz about Play-Doh.
It's inedible, no?
So it's not inedible. It's after because it's made for little kids, it's impossible to eat it. It's not made for eating, but it's possible. Let me just see what he says. Play-Doh and Crayola dough are chometz. That's what he says. No, I sell it. That's for sure. That's not chometz gomer for sure. Right? I've seen other svarim that say that Play-Doh is no chashash chometz at all. The way that it's made, it's not not chometz. But in any case, he says it is chometz. For 7 days, you know, you can give up your Play-Doh. What? What?
Slightly off the subject, but when you said about selling the benchers,
yeah.
Selling separate.
No, not selling the benchers. Selling the chometz in the bench, just like the kalim. We don't sell the kalim, we sell the chometz in these things. Yeah.
Two questions about toys. the first thing you can have, let's say, like board games and things like that that are played with maybe on the table or something. Is it enough to just like look inside, check it to make sure there's nothing?
100%.
You don't have to like start cleaning it off.
No, as long as there's no crumbs, no chametz, it's easy to clean off the board. The pieces, again, it depends how neat your children are. Right, if your kids, you know, have, you know, sticky chametz that they touch these things with and they're drooling with, you know, with chametz or whatever, then you have to really clean it yisodi. If it's just a problem, maybe some crumbs got on these things and there's no crumbs, then it's no problem.
I'm not careful.
So it's checking it, maybe it's...
Right, just like a book.
Or is
right.
It, let's say if you're going to be mocked at that, they don't put it on the table. Then you have to actually like wipe off every board and everything, or is enough to look in the box, make sure there's nothing that you can see there, and if you're not going to put it on the table.
Even if you're not going to put it on the table, if it's possible that there are edible crumbs, right? And again, as we're kids, you can never know what. There could be pretzels in there and who knows what else, right? Then you should go through it. And see that that there's no chametz there, but you don't have to go through it. You just look through the whole thing and see that there's no no chametz.
That's right.
Yeah, that's all. Just no. Look through it and make sure that there's no right. Anything you could see, you don't have to do more than that.
Okay. My other question: something, let's say, like blocks that little kids play with. They play with them on the floor and they get dirty because of the way they're using them.
But that's not chametz.
Yeah, I understand. But sometimes they could have stuff on their hands and you don't know exactly what it is. When you look at it, but I'm not talking about something that's obviously like gooky and gross.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just normal from use. If it's, you don't know exactly what I.
Yeah, then that chametz on there is not edible. It's not. It's negligible. It's bottle, mavotl, and they don't have to worry about that.
You don't have to worry about that.
No.
They can play just make
sure. Yeah, just make sure that there's no chametz in the place where the blocks is. That's real chametz.
If there's a wall hanging that. That could have...
a hanging on the wall, not a wall hanging.
A hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
Something hanging on the wall that, like a child made, you're not...
You really don't want to.
If it's got, like, some kind of Play-Doh, or if it's got wheat sometimes, I'm not really sure if it's real or not, but sometimes these things are...
Those you should...
take them off and...
The halacha is that if you have chametz that you're meyached for a different purpose, right? Kupasor, sheyichdol yeshiva, right? So, or you have paste that's in svarim that was made out of flour and water, so that's considered bottled before Pesach, and it's not considered chametz anymore because it doesn't have that tafkid. But here, it's not like that. Here, it's mamish the thing itself. It's just made as a decoration, but it's chametz. It's made as a decoration. Never was bottled. As chametz, right? Just a decorative chametz that you should put away and sell with your chametz.
They should put it away.
Yeah.
One more thing. I always heard this about matches. We don't use matches on during Pesach on
why?
Lighters because the end. The end of the match or the part that you strike the match on, whatever, something is.
Well, every time you do it, you're mekayim in the midst of Sreifas Chametz.
it's so good.
One second, I'm going to... If there's anything to it, he'll mention it. Matches. Masking tape. Doesn't say anything about matches. Is there another word for matches? No. Truth is, I never heard of such a thing, and it doesn't. Right. It's the horror. It's not royal. I don't know. And there's plenty of things that are definitely not royal for anything, and that they do have a shayla on. This I mamash never heard of.
Cigarettes.
What? I never heard of it. And it's mistaber that whatever those chemicals are at the end of the match are not edible the chlal anymore. Not even before Pesach is not edible even for a human being. It's not even edible for an animal. Well, I would imagine there's no problem. Again, I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it's shayach that should be a problem. Yeah.
We have pillows, which are filled, I think, with barley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This I heard of before. There are things that are made, what?
It was me.
Was you? Yeah, you told, that's right. You asked in Shiloh at the time, right? But that was rice, right? That was rice. Right, okay. The rice is less of a problem. The barley, I don't remember 100%, but what I remember, I think I remember, is that the barley goes through a process where it's not edible b'chlal anymore. There's something that's, the barley is treated, one, that it, the way that it's processed, it couldn't become chametz. And secondly, it's treated with something that makes it inedible. So it shouldn't be a problem. It's again, you're miyached it for another purpose besides eating. Right? But if it would be mamish edible, then it could be a problem of baliran balimotze. But it's not edible, and it's not even chametz. It's barley that went through a process that it couldn't become chametz.
But if you put it during the year,
yeah,
if you put it during the year in your microwave, you can't put it in your Pesach microwave.
They
can't use it anyway.
Why? You put it in your microwave.
You put it in your Pesach microwave, in your Pesach microwave. So unless you buy a barley pillow just for Pesach, you can't use it.
There's other ways of heating it, no? I don't know. You have to heat it in the microwave?
Yeah.
So then you can put it into thick plastic and heat it up in the microwave.
And what about
what?
The microwave, then
you didn't kosher the microwave, then you can't. It's not made of barley. It's filled with barley that absorbs the heat and then remains hot for a long time. It's like a hot water bottle. What? Yes and no. But over there, since it's not here, mamish, if it maintains its mamish as chametz, even though using it for a different purpose, could be it's not good. Because that was saor, which wasn't chametz, that was chametz nuksha. Or you did some nicer with it, you covered over with tit or something like that. Okay. I remember looking into it. The rice is okay.
For Pesach?
The rice only kidneys, not chametz. And you can use it for Hanoi. You can, it's not
so
a problem.
It's the same thing. You have to make a new one special for your Pesach microwave.
That, yeah, or cover it with plastic and. But the barley one, it hits me that there wasn't. I was looking into it. Not this year. It was a few years ago that somebody asked me to Shaila. But I'm not 100% sure. I don't remember 100%. The barley one, I have to look into it. The rice is okay.
Inedible chometz is what we call chometz nuksha?
No. Sometimes. It's a real inedible chometz is not chometz nuksha. It's chometz nifsel mechilis kelev. It's nothing. Uh-huh. Chometz nuksha is somewhere in between.
An example?
What chometz nuksha would be? Something that went through a process of the what's it called, the kind of glue or whatever that was made with chametz before you glued things with it, where it's still in its regular thing, could be chametz nuksha. It's not edible. It's not an edible thing though.
Something's rotten. Humans wouldn't eat it, but a dog would. So that's something between.
That's chametz is nitzel mechilas adam. That's a different thing. Okay. Okay, that's pretty much what we'll get to. Next week we will go through cosmetics and other products for Pesach, and bedikas chametz, beer chametz, and Shabbos. Yeah.
Erev Pesach. So one is tables.
Tables? Okay, tables should be cleaned and covered, and preferably covered with two coverings. One covering that stays on there all the time, and then a regular tablecloth.
Furniture like couches and
just with a vacuum cleaner, get to wherever you is accessible, and that's enough.
If you don't see anything and you vacuum it where it's accessible.
Right, and the only place you could, there's chametz, you could stick your hand deep down in there where you can't even really get to, right. That's no problem.
Okay, the next thing is, I was sitting at my dining room table one time and I watched this lovely little boy gasp, sticking bread inside my air conditioner.
Guest? Yeah.
Not much.
Sticking.
No.
What was he sticking?
No.
Bread in your air conditioner?
Because
it's hot. I don't. If the bread is in a place where it's inaccessible, right, and you don't normally open up your air conditioner, okay, then you don't have to worry about it at all, and you don't have to pour bleach in it either. That's called chomet shenofel of mapolis, and all you have to do is pickle chomet. Okay. That signals the end of it.